Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is taken from our gospel reading from the 7th chapter of St. Mark, with an emphasis on these words. And looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed and said to the man, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. If any of you were alive to remember the 2000 election season, well, then you might recall the Republican primary contest between Texas Governor George Bush Jr. and Arizona Senator John McCain. During this time, McCain and his campaign debuted a certain bus which made a big splash on the airwaves and carried him from event to event and rally to rally to make his case for his party's nomination. This bus bore the name the Straight Talk Express, and that bus was far more than just a vehicle. It was also a promise. Capitalizing on his reputation as a maverick who would frequently cross party lines to help sway legislation, McCain sought to set himself apart from his rivals by emphasizing transparency and issue-driven rhetoric, which sounds pretty nice today. This, he saw, as being distinct from the sensationalizing of politics that was happening and occurring in the 24-hour news cycle, and of course by the growing impact at the time of the internet. His emphasis on this straight talk was a pledge to voters. It was a pledge that there would be no fluff, no drama, no half-truths coming from his campaign, and furthermore, that he would keep his stump speeches direct and to the point, dedicating the majority of his time to answering the people's questions and trying to give an honest opinion about key issues. Ultimately, however, this promise, ironically, ended up working a little bit against the senator in some key battlegrounds, as his unwillingness to strictly walk the party line alienated some of the conservative base. Meanwhile, his emphasis on things like campaign finance reform, which was an extension of his promise to speak only his beliefs and not let anyone pay for his support, well, that led him to butt heads with a lot of special interest groups, lobbyists, and big businesses. They all ended up throwing their weight behind Governor Bush, helping him eventually to secure the Republican nomination. But still, this was hardly the end for the senator. As history shows us how McCain served a long and distinguished career, and furthermore, his reputation, that of a straight talker, and of course all of the highs and lows that come with that reputation, that never really left him. But friends, regardless of your personal political leanings, I think there's a truly valuable lesson to be learned from McCain's campaign insistence on straight talk. Sticking to your ideals and your beliefs and not letting go of them, that's not always going to make you the most popular person in the room. Sometimes it may even cost you friends. As Christians, our Lord Jesus Christ calls him to confess his name in all situations, be they personal, professional, or, yes, even political. Now, no, this certainly does not mean enforcing our faith on our neighbors, but what it does mean is always striving to give faithful witness in our words and in our actions. Doing this, as you may very well know, will oftentimes put the Christian at odds with the world around them. The reason being that this world, steeped in sin, does not acknowledge Christ, and so does not always willingly hear his word. Our gospel reading from the 7th chapter of St. Mark this morning introduced us to a man who could neither hear God's word or confess his saving name. Indeed, we learn that the man, he could hear nothing, for he was deaf. And he could confess nothing, for he had a speech impediment. In fact, the scriptures do not even mention this man pleading with Jesus on his own behalf. But we hear in Mark's gospel how, as Jesus came back from Decapolis through the region of Tyre and Sidon, it was actually the man's friends who brought him to Jesus and who made intercession on his behalf, pleading with the Lord that he might lay his hand of healing upon him. Unlike other similar miracle accounts recorded in the Gospels, St. Mark recounts that Jesus uniquely did not stop to question the man or teach a lesson before going right to work with his healing miracle. Mark recalls how Jesus took him aside from the crowd privately. He then put his fingers into his ears and, after spitting on the ground, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, it is then that Jesus sighed and said to the man, "Ephatha," a simple word meaning "be opened." You know, dear brothers and sisters, I find Jesus's relative silence in this text to be quite impactful. You might have noted previously that Mark records Jesus speaking just that one word throughout this whole passage, following a similar pattern to the miracles that we've seen Jesus perform previously in Mark's gospel account. For instance, when the demon possessing the man at Capernaum first confronted Jesus, Jesus responded with but a single imperious command, saying, "Be silent, come out of him." And at once, the demon was driven out. Later, as the Sea of Galilee raged and as the disciples in the boat feared that they would perish for the wind and the waves, Jesus rose from his sleeping mat in the stern of the boat, got to the front, and spoke a single simple phrase, "Peace, be still." And once again, at once, the wind and the waves subsided. At the sickbed of Jairus' daughter, who lay still in the slumber of death, Jesus went to her bedside, and he spoke once more a single command, "Talitha kumai," that is, "Little girl, arise." And yet again, at once, the little girl rose, no longer dead, but alive. Notice how with but a single word, Jesus is able to exercise his authority as true God over the powers of the devil, the world, and yes, even death itself. And now once again, as we come to Mark 7, as the deaf mute man is brought before Jesus, he speaks again a single direct phrase, "Ephatha. Be opened." And again, the effect is both immediate and transformative. We hear in the Holy Scriptures how the words of Jesus, that is, the words of the true God, are performative. Just as God in the beginning was able to speak creation into being with his mighty word, so now we hear that Jesus is able to recreate the lost and fallen world by the very same means, through the power of his word. With this straight talk, Jesus renews and restores what had once been marred and disfigured by sin. Mark continues that the man's ears were opened, his tongue was released, and that now he spoke plainly. This response of the formerly deaf and mute man is, in fact, more telling than it would first appear. This phrase, "spoke plainly," is a little bit more nuanced in the Greek language, where it reads "elale orthos." To elale means exactly what we read in the English. It's the simple act of opening your mouth and speaking. But orthos, however, is a rather intriguing word. It can mean straight or uprightly. It's where we get the word in our English language, orthodox. Wrapping all of this up together, we hear in this account how Jesus speaks a single word to a man who could neither hear God's word nor proclaim it back to others, and at this simple command of Christ Jesus, this man begins at once to speak. And how does he speak? He speaks uprightly. He speaks orthodoxically. That is, he does not use his newly restored ears and tongue to chat about the weather, nor does he take a moment to catch up with his friends about IU's big win on Friday night. This man, no, he responds to Jesus' straight talk with a little straight talk of his own, meaning that he declared the glory of God, which had been revealed to him, which he had seen, which visited him and healed him through his only begotten Son. But that's not all. Upon seeing this healing miracle of Jesus, and upon hearing the testimony of the once deaf and mute man, the crowds who were gathered around to bear witness echoed with their own straight talk. Even at Jesus' urging that they tell no one in order to preserve the messianic secret until the proper time, Mark recalls how the more Jesus charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were all astonished beyond measure. They all said, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Dear friends, consider today the astounding things that your God has done for you by his holy word. Consider how his word pierced through the silence of death, letting you hear the good news of life won for you by his suffering and death on Calvary's cross. Consider how with water and with the word, you were baptized into his holy name. How through that word spoken to you in baptism, you were reinvigorated to newness of life. Consider how his Holy Spirit now speaks this same word to you in his church to instill in you a life-saving faith. And finally, consider how he has called you to speak that very same word to those who have not yet heard. For the same Christ Jesus who used his word to drive out demons, calm the storm, heal the sick, and raise the dead, he has now made you his witnesses. Into your stopped ears, Jesus spoke his word of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Onto your muted tongue, Jesus has placed the good news of his triumph over death and the grave. You know, as we come into yet another election season, I'm always struck by how many half-truths and twisted words come out of our airwaves from pundits and politicians alike. But moreover, it always strikes me how many of our fellow citizens take these words and they're so eager to speak them right back to their neighbors. This partisan divide being as it is, you'd be forgiven for hearing these words, looking at the yard signs and the bumper stickers and the campaign ads, and thinking that our world just might end if the wrong candidate wins. In a news cycle perpetuated by doom and gloom, I think the world needs a little bit of this straight talk now more than ever. So why not take some of that zeal which gets us fired up to flood the ballot boxes in November and campaign for our civil leaders and redirect it? Redirect it towards ministering to our neighbors in the name of the one ruler who can make a real and lasting change for his people. Instead of stoking that bitter partisan divide, why not use your words to speak peace and unity in Christ Jesus, who calls all people from all tribes and nations into his holy house to hear the good news of his salvation? Certainly, they may not always want to hear these words, and you might just find yourself with a reputation of your own for speaking them. But Christ's word, and his word alone, is that word which publishes real peace in our fallen and sinful world. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as you engage with the world around you and as you go out and exercise your various vocations as responsible citizens, Let your words be tempered by the gospel. Let the good news spoken to you in this place transform what proceeds out from your mouth. Let Christ's words, which have the power to heal and to make whole, become your words. Following after him, speak uprightly, speak peaceably, speak truthfully to your neighbors. Let them hear the words of life from you, that with zeal and with joy, they would join the church in crying out, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.